Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck. Hope you're doing well today, walking in the peace of Christ and relying on Him. If you didn't have a chance this week, friends, to tune into the program, I encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. You can listen to the programs. They're all archived there. You can download them on whatever device you have. Easiest thing is just to get the Renewal Ministries app, and you'll get my radio programs, Sister Ann's radio programs, our television programs, and access to many free videos, our YouTube videos and the rest that we've been doing over the last month or so. Today I want to talk and build on, we've been talking about the first 2 days this week. Monday talked about the solemnity of St. Peter and Paul, the amazing way in which the Lord worked through them, their moments of great victory, their moments of failure, but the astounding way in which the kingdom came forth through these men, both gifted but also men with clay feet. God had chosen them and God used them to establish and extend the kingdom of God with the Lord. And now for 2,000 years, men and women across the earth of every tribe and language have heard the teaching of Peter and Paul and have been profoundly touched as those imperfect men became instruments of the Holy Spirit for the sake of the salvation of the world. And we're called to do the same. We don't have the same level of responsibility, don't maybe have the same bank account spiritually that Peter and Paul have each been given by the Lord, but we have a calling and God's power is upon us. And we're meant to extend His love in the world. And what a time to extend that love, friends, at a time of shaking like the world is going through and we're going through. Yesterday I talked about the gospel reading the church gave us yesterday, which Jesus calmed the storm and how the storm shook the apostles while Jesus is literally sleeping. He's totally calm in the storm because there's in fact nothing to fear if He's there. And the apostles were so shaken, and then they shook Him and they said, "Lord, help us. Don't you care?" they asked Him. "Don't you care if we perish?" Just those few words, "Don't you care?" It can emerge so easily from our hearts, wondering, where's the Lord in the midst of trial? Where's the Lord in the midst of the storm? Where's the Lord in the disappointment, the heartbreaks, the sickness, the shaking, the violence, all the things in life? Where is He? He's right here with us. He's right here with us. He took the worst of it on Calvary. The worst that any of us could ever experience, basically. He took it, and His love conquered it. And He passed from death to life. And He wants us to understand how short life is, how fragile life is, what an enormous mistake it is to get priorities out of balance, like to be baptized into Christ is a new life in the Spirit, being yielded to and living with the lead and the grace and the presence, the power of God that's literally in us, that God comes to dwell in us as in a temple and unites us to others, and He wants to fill us with the fruits of the Spirit. He wants to establish in us love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, right? Healthy fear of the Lord. And times of shaking, when the storms are whipping around us, what we experience is a manifestation of what's going on in us and how we're living our lives. Does a great shaking like we're going through, what does it expose about me? Am I gripped by fear? Am I angry? Am I bitter? Or am I walking in peace? Am I confident in God? Knowing who I am, when Jesus said, "Don't be afraid of anything, be not afraid." It's mentioned 365 times in the Bible, because that fear clouds our minds, stirs our emotions, puts us in a place of panic, and then the lies emerge. It's kind of rooted in lies, actually, that I'm alone, that there's no one to care for me, that God certainly doesn't care for me. It's there. Or that there's no answer to this battle, the struggle, to these storms ultimately. And Jesus wants us to know that we literally have all the grace we need to live through any and every circumstance, no matter how difficult, no matter how painful, no matter how crushing in disappointment, no matter how frightening, whether it's in family and family relationships, whether it's on a grand scale like's been happening in the shaking that's going on in the world, the Lord wants us to see that nothing in this world can give us the comfort and the protection and the security that we desire. Nothing can satisfy us fully in this world. He wants us to see clearly and not pretend to realize that we still live within a profound spiritual battle between the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. As I mentioned on Monday, Paul in his testimony said on the road to Damascus, one of the things Jesus said as he imparted to Paul his mission, he said, you're going to lead people from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, to lead them into forgiveness of sins and faith in me, to come into the inheritance, to come into the life of the saints through faith in me. So we're still living in that world, friends. We're living in a world that's fallen, that needs to come from darkness to light. And sometimes the world gets so attached to things that will ultimately lead it further and further away from God, that the Lord first comes in mercy and in invitation to get us to let go. And he says, be careful. People's consciences, speak to them, be careful, don't do this, don't go that way, go this way. And human beings say no to conscience many, many times. We then cling to things that we think are going to make us happy as the devil seduces us into believing that sin's a good thing. He doesn't put it up in lights like that. He gives us sinful things that look attractive, that we think will satisfy us or distract us, give us a certain kind of the feelings that we're seeking, the thrill that we're seeking, the power that we're seeking, the fame that we're seeking, whatever it is. As the devil seduces us into these things, we then can get gripped by them and become addicted to them and depend on them and look to them to be an escape for us every day. And what that does is it pushes God to the margins. It denies who God is, and it leads us to a place of enslavement. Jesus is permitting the shaking to go on in the world of foundational things, governments, bank accounts, whole economies, global health, you name it. All kinds of things are being shaken. Institutions are being shaken. The church is being shaken, even, because the Lord wants our attention. And what he wants us to see is he's with us just like he was in the boat. He's calmly here. He's here. He's in your heart. And the only place he can be found, the only way we can connect with him is if we come to that place of quiet and calm and we set aside all the distractions. We allow him to take them away. And we say, Lord, we want to seek you. We want to seek you first. Lord, I want to learn to abide in you. Lord, I'm scared. I'm frightened. I've been thinking like the apostles, like you don't care about me and what's happening in my life. I know it's a lie, but I'm kind of gripped by it. I'm attached to things that's very difficult for me to let go of. I know that I'm enslaved to these things. Lord, help me. Friends, take up the word of God each morning, each day. Get to a place of quiet. Bring your rosary with you and just be before the Lord. Meditate on his word, chew on his word, pray the rosary, meditate on it as you're praying it. Have a time of total quiet and say, Lord, I want to hear your voice. I need you. I want to walk in that calm, in the peace, and the freedom of the sons and daughters of God. The same Jesus that was in the boat with the apostles is the same Jesus that's in you. And greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. The Spirit of God wants us to grow in faith and confidence that's rooted in a profound trust that Jesus is utterly trustworthy, the Father is with me, utterly trustworthy, and that it's okay as he shows me the limitations of life in this world. It's okay that as he suffered in this world, we will suffer in this world. And that's okay too, because he's going to use it to deepen our relationship with him, to purify us, to help us grow in holiness. He's going to show us how short life is. It's here today and gone tomorrow. It's a breath. It's a passing shadow. And the fact is we're all going to be dead soon. And that's not something we have to fear. It is something that we instinctively fear, but it's something that he wants to heal. He wants to deliver that fear from us and to heal us. And he wants us to be able to see him who's passed from death to life. He wants us to see the light and the glory that's in him. He wants us to see so many things. For example, he wants us to see that everything in this universe, in this cosmos, was made by him, was made for him. He wants us to see that he's the Lord. And that all of us, every human being, literally the purpose of every human being, is to come into relationship with him, to receive him in who he actually is, the King of everything, the King of all glory, the King of all God's creation, and to see ourselves as creatures made in the image of God, and we're literally made for God. We're not the origin of our own life. We're not the definers of the meaning of our life. Meaning, identity, is something we receive from the Creator. But the world and its hubris is at a point of just simply ignoring it or seeing in it this glory from the Lord that's for us as an obstacle to our freedom, to our radical autonomy, to our independence, whatever words you want to put on it. There's a resistance because of a pride of mind that's in us, because of the darkness of living in a fallen world, of believing lies about where freedom really is, believing lies of what's really valuable or not. The fact, friend, the greatest dignity we have is that God has made us, and God has made us in his image. And in Christ, he's come all the way in to a relationship with us, and he's giving us a kingdom, and we owe God, love, trust, obedience. Jesus wants to show us how evil it is, how disordered it is, how dark it is to create a world that belongs to God, in which we're meant to live with him and speak and walk with him and steward it for his glory and offer all things in him, to love him first, to love our neighbor in that whole reality. He wants us to be able to see it and to see that to not give it to God is an evil thing, and it leads to great disorder, and it's yielding to darkness and to the kingdom of this world. It's at moments like this, friends, when the shaking comes, when we see how quickly the big things even can collapse, and how much only God is unshakable and the kingdom of God. It's a work of mercy of God for us to be able to see this, so that we cling to him and we're ready for anything, even ready to die in the Lord, so that we can enter into glory with him. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Unfailing Promises. In these challenging and unsettling times, the promises of God are a sure anchor and a source of great encouragement for all of us. For your free copy of Unfailing Promises, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.